Lord's name we pray.
Amen.
God bless everyone. We're expecting great things at the time of the retreat. Liberation.
Amen.
Restoration.
Amen.
And the great work of God in every life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And so tonight, as we prepare for the leadership development, we want to take in everything the Lord has for us, and then we will take the power of God, the anointing of God, and the unction. Without allowing anything to leak away from us, we'll be full, and then we get to the retreat and deposit everything on the people of God at the retreat in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This will be a special retreat. Everywhere from the headquarters to all the regions and to all the states and to all the countries, it will be special for everyone in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless your name for these passages of scripture. And thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God guiding us, leading us, inspiring us, empowering us, so that we will be so full, and when we get to the point of ministering to your people, none of them will lack in Jesus' name. You'll solve problems, you'll heal the sick, you'll work miracles, you'll restore backsliders, and sinners in their multitudes will be saved in Jesus' name. Lay your mighty hand upon our leaders, everyone here, everyone everywhere, that we will feel the very power of God in every life, in every minister, in Jesus' name. Lead us on, move us on, take us higher, and make us greater ministers in effectiveness, in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you. You can sit down. As we come to the few Psalms we're looking at today, I want you to not just to limit your understanding to the Psalms that we're looking at. Spread your mind and look into all the Psalms. And the principles we're looking at today, you take those principles to all the Psalms. Go beyond the Psalms. As you read all the parts of the Old Testament, you come with proper understanding. You do not identify with the people in the Old Testament. You understand that you are a member of the body of Christ. And you are the servant of the Lord. And actually, our place, our position is in the new covenant. And whatever we read and whatever we study, we do not shift our place, our position, from the place where the Lord has put us as members of the body of Christ in the new covenant. But we look at what had happened to other people, and then we still retain what the Lord had given us. That's why, as we look at the Psalms we're looking at tonight, I'm talking to you on faith, unshakable, in Christ, unchangeable. Faith, unshakable, in Christ, unchangeable. We're coming to Psalm 84. In Psalm 84, reading from verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They go from strength to strength. The people that hold on to the promises of God, and the people that keep their place in Christ, and the people that keep their place in the covenant where they abide. All those people, whatever is happening to other people, whatever a suffering or sickness or affliction may be happening to other people, whatever weakness we may find in the lives of the people we read in the Psalms or anywhere in the Old Covenant, the people that depend upon the Lord and the people that have unshakable faith in the unchanging Christ, they go from strength to strength. every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Look at verse 8. It says in verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Once again, when you read about prayer in the Psalms or in the Old Testament, you must understand you're a New Testament believer. And the Lord had said, whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do. And you don't cry, and you don't weep, and you don't roll on the ground, and you do not do penance before God can answer your prayer. Whatever you read, hear my prayer. It says, Father, I know that thou always hearest me. And because we're identified with Christ, it says, if we believe, and as we believe, he answers our prayer. During this retreat, every prayer you will pray, God will answer. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, behold, O God, our shield. Look upon the face of thine anointed. We are anointed. And remember how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good. And we too were anointed because we belong to Christ. You will do good. I will do good. In verse 10, it says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We have a choice. And he says, this man says, here is my choice. I would rather dwell in the house of God. In fact, in the New Testament, we ourselves become the temple of God. And the house of God, he abides in us. And if the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in your mortal body, then he that dwells in your mortal body and he makes your body his house, he will quicken your mortal body. There will be strength every time in your life in Jesus' name. You will not miss the retreat on the excuse, I am weak, because you will not be weak. And you will not be weary. And the time you spend in the house of God, in that place of retreat, it will be a blessed time in your life, in your family, and in all our converts, all the people we're expecting in Jesus' name. And then he tells us in verse 11, it says, for the Lord God is his sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace and glory, grace and glory, grace in your life, glory in your life. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Somebody should have said amen. No good thing will he withhold from you. Every good thing you desire, every good thing that Calvary has provided, always go back to Calvary. Always think about Christ. Don't ever look down as you're reading the old covenant as if you are tied to the old covenant. And as we look at Calvary, and as we see what Christ has done and what Christ says he will give, no good thing will he withhold from you, from me, from us, in Jesus' name. In Psalm 81, reading from verse 10. Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, tell me, and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide in prayer. Make it broad. Make it loud. Make your request as deep, as great, as Calvary has provided. And he says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, he should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey. Out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Then he's saying to the children of Israel, they were complaining. The heathens have come in. They have devastated your sanctuary. They have brought down the holy city. Even the prophets, they have no mouth to talk. And your people are like slaves and servants. Affliction has come upon us. And God said, are you complaining? If you had obeyed me and you had walked in my path, I wouldn't have limited your blessing to water out of the rock. I would have given you honey out of the rock. This is my time. You are going to have honey out of the rock in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. It says, but now. Somebody say, but now. Forget what they suffered. Forget their complaints. Forget their affliction. Forget their deprivation. And forget all their murmuring, all their complaints. Forget how they said, we're now slaves and servants, and we're now trodden. But now, as he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant. That's a covenant. That's a covenant in which we are. You understand? You go through primary school, secondary school, and then you go to higher institution, you come to university, you become a graduate. After you become a graduate, you might see a primary school child having a problem. You don't drop all that you have learned from secondary to tertiary institution and to university, college, and everything, and then come and stay by the side of the primary school child as if you have the same problem. No, you remain where you are, and then you look back, you say, when I was in the primary school, that's the kind of problem I used to have. But I'm not there anymore. When they were in the old covenant, that's the problem they used to have. But now we're in the new covenant and we're not back there anymore. The Lord has lifted us higher and he has given us this better covenant. And it says the better covenant is established upon better promises. That's where we are. That's where we're going to remain. That's where you're going to have victory all the time in Jesus' name. Three things we're looking at in the message today. Number one, the reasons for what happened in yesteryears. The reasons for what happened in yesteryears. All those complaints we find in the Psalms, all those complaints we find among the old covenant people. Why? What happened to them? Why is it the blessing of Abraham was not there? Why is it only one Enoch was raptured at that time? Why is it only eight people were saved from the flood? Why is it that only Elijah and Elisha manifested such great power more than all the other people? Why? The reasons for what happened in yesteryears. Number two, our return to the wonders of our youthful years. We're going to return. I said we're going to return. I said we're going to return. You see, there are people that are saying, you know, we see not our signs anymore, and the prophets are not there, and nobody knows how long it will be. And they say, oh, I wish we were in the yesteryears. Don't worry your mind, we're back there in Jesus' name. Our return to the wonders of our youthful years. And then number three, the revival of his work with our yieldedness, the revival of his work with our yieldedness. Number one, the reasons for what happened in yesteryears. We're coming to Psalm 79, and we're looking at verse 1. Psalm 79, reading from verse 1. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. We drove them away at the time of Joshua. We were overcomers at the time of Joshua. Our leader Joshua, that brought us into the land, he told the sun to stop right there and the moon to stop right there, and he conquered all those heathens. But now, O God, the heathens are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. They were so mighty and powerful, those people, those heathens that were conquered before. They came back and they conquered the people of Israel, and they conquered their holy city, Jerusalem. Look at verse 4. In verse 4 it says, we have become a reproach to our neighbors. All the surrounding nations, they're looking at us, these chosen people of God, and now we're a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn, a derision to them that are round about us. Look at verse 5. How long, Lord, will thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Let's come to Psalm 80, reading from verse 4. In Psalm 80, reading from verse 4, it says, O Lord God of hosts, how long will thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? How long will thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Isn't it strange that the children of Israel, let's say the descendants of Abraham, will say that God is angry against their prayer? When Abraham prayed, God said, I will, because you said that. If you find 20 righteous people in that place, will you not spare them? Oh God, I've taken time to speak to you, God of all righteousness. You cannot destroy them. And God said, I will not. When Moses prayed, oh God, count these people as your people. Don't destroy them. As you have said, I have heard. When Joshua prayed, God answered. And now the children of Israel, they were saying, O Lord God of hosts, how long will thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Look at verse 5. In verse 5, thou feedest them with the bread of tears, the bread with their tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. And they were wondering, but why? That's why we're asking the question, why is this happening? Why was this happening to them all those years? Let's now see in 81, Psalm 81, reading from verse 11. In Psalm 81, reading from verse 11, but my people would not hearken unto my voice. My people will not hearken unto my voice. I said, don't remove the ancient landmarks. They will not hearken unto my voice. I said, look at the old path and walk therein. They will not hearken unto my voice. I said, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings shall come upon you. But my people would not hearken to my voice. Israel would none of me. Israel will none of me. If we're asking the question why, the Bible gives us very clearly the answer. It's because of this, of this, of that. Why? Why did this happen to them? Why was their prayer not being answered? Why did the people God promise you'll be the head, you'll not be the tail? How is it they became the tail? How is it the people that ought to have been conquering and conquering, how were they so conquered? And then the heathens trampled over them. Why? Here is the reason. Because, look at Isaiah chapter 3, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 3, we're reading from verse 8. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is falling. Look at the next one there. Because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. If they were asking the question, but why? Were your chosen people, were your peculiar people, and see all the promises you have given us, and see the situation we're in now. Why? Here is the reason. Because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, the show of their countenance, the show of their countenance does witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. They have rewarded evil unto themselves. The Lord was saying, if you are asking the question, why? Who is the enemy of my life? Look at the mirror. That person you see at the mirror, in the mirror, that's the enemy. Who is the enemy of the nation? Go to your mirror. That person you see in the mirror is the enemy. Why is it we're downtrodden? Why is it the joy of service is not there, and the reward of faithful service is not there? Go back to your mirror. That person you see in the mirror is the culprit, is the guilty one. They are the people who have rewarded evil. They saw they were rewarding evil to God unto themselves. That's the reason why Jeremiah chapter 15, and we're reading from verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 4, it says, and I will cause them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. How can you do that, God? These are the favored people of God. What is the reason why this would happen? Look at that. Because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. That which he did in Jerusalem. It's not because a foreign king, a foreign leader, a foreign warrior was so mighty and powerful. The enemy was their own king. He did evil in Jerusalem. Because he was king, he thought he was above the law of God. And the prophets came and spoke to him. He will not listen. That's the reason why all these kingdoms will assimilate and swallow up the people of Israel. Look at verse 5. It says in verse 5, for who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Verse 6. In verse 6 it says, thou hast forsaken me, says the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary of repenting. You do evil, God, I'm sorry. Okay, I say, I want to bring the evil again. Then you go back to the evil again. God, I'm sorry. Okay, don't do that again. And then Jerusalem, with your kings, with your prophets, with your priests, and with your people, you go back again. I'm now weary of changing my mind. That captivity, you will go. And it's not because I delight for you to go into captivity. This is the reason, is because of your evil. Lamentation chapter 1. We're reading from verse 8. In Lamentation chapter 1, verse 8, Jerusalem has grievously sinned. Therefore, she is removed. That's the reason why God has not forgotten his promise. And God is not weak. His hand is not heavy. His hand is not short. He still remembers his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what he had promised at the time of Moses, bring them out that you may bring them in, is still remembered. And everything that he told Joshua is still remembered. The blessings he said he will give to the nation, his beloved nation, is still remembered. But Jerusalem now has grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her now, because... You see that word? Because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sighs and turneth backwards. In verse 9, it says, her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. They were not thinking, you know, they're only looking at the past history, the good old days, but they didn't look at the better days that could come if they will keep on obeying the Lord. They were tired of obedience. They were tired of holiness. They were tired of uprightness. They were tired of listening to God, hearing God, obeying God. And because of that, all these things came upon them. They didn't remember their last and their latter, and therefore she came down wonderfully. That means she came down woefully. She had no comforter. Oh Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself. That's the reason why Hosea chapter 8. In Hosea chapter 8, verse 1. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. Because, you see that? That's the reason why sickness shouldn't touch them. Calamity shouldn't have touched them. Affliction should not have known the address of their houses. Poverty should not have visited them. But look at this. Because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. God says, that's why they're reaping what they have sown. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, it says, Israel has cast off the sin that is good. When Moses was with them, he gave them the word, and he said, which nation is like this, our nation, that God has given this kind of law, and the good thing that he has promised, we are special and we are precious, and we are fortunate before the Lord, we are favored. But now they cast off that good thing, and because of that, the enemy shall pursue him. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have become independent of me. Whatever they wanted to do, that's what they now did. They have made princes, and they knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut up. That's what is cutting them up. That's why they were having, you know, all the problems they were having. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. What their forefathers rejoiced in, this law and this word, ever give us this word. Now they counted that as a strange thing. That's why those calamities came upon them. Eventually, that's why actually Israel was scattered all over the world. because they didn't even know the time of their visitation. Christ came to them. The Messiah came to them. And the Messiah brought to them all the riches of glory, all the blessings of heaven. He healed them, he delivered them, he opened the eyes of the blind, and he declared unto them, I am he, I am the one to come, I'm the one you're expecting. They rejected him, and Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only known the day of thy visitation, but now they're hidden from your eyes. And he said, you'll be scattered. The Gentiles will come and they will trample over Jerusalem. And those people, in their ignorance, they said, that's all right, that's all right. Crucify him. Let his blood be upon us. That's why those people suffered, and they're still suffering unnecessarily. Now, we will return. As for us, we'll not be like them. That leads us to point number two. In point number two, we're looking at our return to the wonders of our youthful years. I want you to look at your life. You know, Moses looked at his life. 40 years, then 40 years, and then 40 years. The God of yesteryears, the God of our youthful years, and the God of the good old days, if we have seen what happened unto the children of Israel. And at this time now, they were like trodden down, and they became unfortunate. They should have remembered the years of their youth and the years of their great love and honeymoon, let's say, was the Lord. But now things were different. That's the reason why, as we look back, and then as we look at today, and we say, the promises are still there, and Christ is still there, and God is still there. He says, I am God, I change not, and our Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Holy Spirit has not changed, and the promises are still yes and amen. We say, we will return. Somebody say, I will return. Let's look at Psalm 80. We're reading from verse 1. In Psalm 80, verse 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, and thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. They were now remembering those youthful years when things were quiet and young, and the blessing of God was flowing every day, and God was the shepherd of Israel. Look at verse 3. It says in verse 3, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Let's have the days of Moses again. My glory will be with you, and my face will shine unto you, and I will speak to you as a friend speaks to his friend. And then he tells us in verse 7, in verse 7, it says, turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, return, we will beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and beseech thy vine. In verse 15, it says, and the vineyard which thy right hand has planted, you planted us. We didn't just grow up accidentally, but you planted us, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. You made us strong as branch in the vine, and no heathen, and no Nebuchadnezzar, and even Pharaoh could not shake us, and we were strong. We could not be defeated by any nation. Oh Lord, we're returning to you. Return unto us, and the power of old will come back in our nation, in our church this time, in Jesus' name. if you will return, it's just a step. It's just to recollect how you responded to the word of God at that time, how you yielded to the word of God at that time, and how you preached at that time, how you were soft and tender at that time, how the word of God will make a mark, an indelible mark on your heart at that time, and how you were run in the way of the commandment of God at that time. It says, if you return to that attitude, if you return to that disposition, if you return to that state of mind, it says, our branches will be strong again for the Lord in Jesus' name. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, so will not we go back from thee. We come now, we will not backslide anymore. We'll not be going back and forth, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. In verse 19, it says, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And we shall be saved. And we shall be saved. From all enemies we shall be saved. From him that is stronger than we are, we shall be saved. From him that is trying to double cross us in our path and is saying we will not move on, we shall be saved. From the Assyrians and from the Babylonians and from Ethiopians and all those people, we shall be saved in Jesus' name. From all foreign powers, all foreign enemies who are saying we're not going to get the best of our Christian life and of our commitment and of the provision the Lord has made for us, we shall be saved. The blessing of the Lord will multiply in your life in Jesus' name. Look at Psalm 81, verse 8. Psalm 81, reading from verse 8 here, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou will hearken unto me. He's saying, you want me to hearken unto you? You want me to listen to you? All right, Israel, you can stop your prayer now and listen to me. Because if you just pray and you don't know what I desire and what I want and why I am restraining myself from you, why I'm removing from you all that should have been yours, if you don't understand why for my action you will not know what to do. But now, Israel, if thou will hearken unto me. In verse 9, it tells us, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. When that has taken place, then in verse 10, I am the Lord thy God. I'm still there. I've not changed. I am that I am. I am the Lord thy God. As I was, so I am. I still have the same law, and I still have the same promise, and I still have the same power, and I still have the same intention. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. That no matter your request, no matter anything you are asking for your body, for your spirit, for your soul, for your family, for your work, for your ministry, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Our time has come. Verse 13, oh that my people had hearkened unto me. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. You know what the children of Israel were thinking? They thought, God is not ready, and God is not blessing us now. Maybe he's still waiting for something. He's not waiting for anything. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for you. He was waiting for them when they made up their minds that now they were going to fully return. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. What would have happened? Look at verse 15. In verse 15, it tells us the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. And then in verse 16, it says, he should have fetched them also with the finest of wheat, and with the honey out of the rock, will I satisfy you. I said, the Lord says he will satisfy you. He will do it in Jesus' name. Psalm 103 verse 3. Psalm 103 verse 3. Who forgives all thine iniquities? That's what he loves to do. That's what Calvary has made available. That whatever the sin, great, small, big, whatever, as heavy as a stone, heavier than a stone, he forgives. And if they will come, and if anyone will come today, he will forgive all the iniquities in Jesus' name. As we go to the retreat, assure everyone, don't browbeat people, don't drive them away from Calvary. Let your word, let your preaching invite them to Calvary. Don't frown at them. Don't act as if you are the judge. Don't act as if they sinned against you. Don't act as if they have committed the unpardonable, the unforgivable sin. Assure everyone that here Christ is here. Calvary has provided forgiveness and freedom and salvation and justification. And who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Don't talk about their sin for 1 hour and then 5 minutes talk about the salvation. Talk about the faith. Don't paint them. They're so dirty and they're so black, and their sins are unheard of, uncommon sins. We never heard of that before. And then after you have almost killed them and they have seen them themselves, they're so dirty and they don't think anything can wash them whiter than snow. Then you say, but you know, Jesus is there. If you will come, and if you don't come today, tomorrow may be too late and you may die. That is the negative thing they will hear. But if you tell them, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, they know they have sinned and they feel the guilt and they feel the condemnation. And now you tell them God is good. You tell them God is gracious. You tell them Calvary has provided forgiveness, has provided salvation, and it will not push away anyone. Anyone that comes, look at him. Even the thief on the cross, remember me, immediately all the sins were forgiven. Look at Zacchaeus, he forgave everything. Assure the people and be positive and attract them to Christ, attract them to Calvary. They will be saved in Jesus' name. And then after they are saved, you're not a sinner. Be careful now, because you might backslide tomorrow. If this happens, you backslide. If this happens, you backslide. And you're pumping fear into them as if the Christ who saved them cannot keep them. Tell them about the power of Christ, and tell them if you are willing, he will forgive you, he will set you free, it will make you stronger than every temptation that can come in your life. And those converts, they will stand in Jesus' name. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth? Tell me. Who healeth? Tell me aloud. Tell me the way you are going to tell them. Who healeth all thy diseases? Now, don't go into the mistake. You're not a medical doctor diagnosing all their sicknesses and diseases. Maybe you got sick because you went into this and went into that. Maybe you got sick because of occultism. Maybe you got sick. Look at all those people that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, he healed them all. In Matthew chapter 8, he healed them all. In Matthew chapter 9, he healed them all. In Matthew chapter 12, he healed them all. In Matthew chapter 14, he healed them all. He healed them, he healed them, he healed them without asking, why are you a leper? Where did you go? Where did you catch that? Where did you have that infection? He didn't ask any question. Everyone that came, he healed them. And now he has sent you. He has said, you are going to represent him. I said, you are going to represent him. What Christ would have done if he were the one at the retreat in your location, and all those people, they come in that now understand that when you are a believer, Christ lives inside you. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in unto him. I will sup with him. I will fellowship with him. When Christ comes to you, he doesn't leave his power outside. He comes with all his power into you. You have Christ living inside you. And you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is living on the inside of you. He said, if you love me and you keep my commandments, I and my Father will come into you and make our abode with you. It's living on the inside of you. And actually, when those sick people come, you're not going to say, we're called the GS. We'll call so and so. You are the one, the man of the hour. You are the woman of the hour. And the same Jesus that lived in Paul and lived in Peter, that same Jesus is on the inside of you. Now we are the hands of Jesus, we are the mouth of Jesus, and we are the eyes of Jesus. And that hand that you lay is not just your hand, we are members of his body. That is his hand, and that is representing him. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. Who are they? You will. I said, you will. And then it says, they will lay hands on the sick. Where are the hands you are going to lay on the sick? Your hands be anointed in Jesus' name. And then it says, they shall recover. And so assure the people who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it tells us, and redeemeth thy life from destruction. As you go to the retreat and as you are coming back, no accident in your way. He redeemeth your life from destruction. In the day, in the night, he'll watch over you in Jesus' name. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Many people don't know that they are wearing the crown of the loving kindness of God. They're wearing, as you go to the prayer, you go to pray, you understand, there is an invisible crown on your head. And it is the crown of the loving kindness of God. And God will always be kind unto you in Jesus' name. He'll be kind to your prayer. He'll be kind to your utterance. And then his tender mercies will be a crown upon your head in Jesus' name. Look at verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. You will give testimony. You will rejoice, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. All the tiredness of old age will vanish away from you. All the tiredness of, I've gone through this, much water has gone under the bridge, I have gone this way, that way, all that tiredness and weariness, everything will vanish away in Jesus' name. Because it will renew your youth like the eagles. The Lord will do it in Jesus' name. Joel chapter 2. Reading from verse 21, Joel chapter 2, reading from verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. This retreat coming, as we return fully to the Lord, and we bring the people, and we tell them in their mind, in their heart, in their soul, in their spirit, return fully to the Lord. God will do great things. In verse 22, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. All the works of your hand will bear fruit. And then in verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Amen. The rain will fall. Amen. Showers of blessing. Amen. Showers of blessing. Amen. As you are going, showers of blessing. While you are returning from the retreat, showers of blessing. Verse 24, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Say amen now. In verse 25, and I will restore unto you. The years that the locusts have eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Restoration, fruitfulness, liberation, blessing will be upon all of us at the retreat in Jesus' name. In point number three, we're looking at the revival of his work with our yieldedness. The revival of his work with our yieldedness. We're coming back to Psalm 85. In Psalm 85, reading from verse 6, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? The psalmist is saying, now we return and we want to experience all the power as of old and all your provision of those yesteryears. We understand why all those sins have faded away in our midst. But now we return, and as we return, revive us, O God, that your people may rejoice in thee. There'll be the joy of salvation, the joy of restoration, and the joy of healing, and the joy of redemption, and the joy of deliverance, and the joy of the fulfillment of the promises of God in every retreat location in Jesus' name. Then look at verse 7. In verse 7, show us thy mercy, O Lord. Mercy will follow after you. There's mercy for you today. There's mercy for you on the way. There's mercy for you every time. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. That's full salvation that encompasses everything, forgiveness and healing and deliverance and redemption, everything. Grant us thy salvation. And then in verse 8, it says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. He will speak pardon unto his people. He will speak joy unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. We will not go back to our vomit again in Jesus' name. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 2. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. O Lord, I've heard thy speech, and I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Revive thy work. Revive thy work. Somebody say amen. Revive thy work. during this retreat, the work of the Lord will be revived in Jesus' name. The church of God will be revived in Jesus' name. Every family will have revival in Jesus' name. Everything that has gone dead will be revived. Everything gone dormant will be revived. Everything that appears, when will that come back again? We planted that thing, and it's like the seed is rotting in the soil. It will revive again in Jesus' name. There's going to be mighty restoration. There's going to be mighty revival, and there's going to be testimony in every location, all the various states and regions in the country, and every country in Africa, and every country beyond Africa. The Lord is going to bring total revival and total renewal in Jesus' name. Habakkuk prayed. He said, I have heard thy speech. Now I come to you and I say, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Look at our church, and whatever is missing, God is going to supply. Where people are backsliding, the Lord is going to restore them. Where there are people who are sinners and they have been coming and coming, they are not saved, during this retreat, revival will come. They'll be saved in Jesus' name. And those who have been sick and they are just there and they are suffering, we love them, we sympathize with them, and we're visiting them, but then they have not come out of their sick bed. That sick person will be revived and will be healed in Jesus' name. Our time has now come. I said our time has now come. Let's come back to the Psalms. Psalm 81, we're reading from verse 10. Psalm 81, and we're reading from verse 10. In Psalm 81, verse 10, I am the Lord thy God. It says, I'm the Lord and I'm your God. I see your predicament. I see what you are going through. And I see you preparing for this retreat. And I see the expectation you have. And I see the desire you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I still have the same power. And those Egyptians at that time, they couldn't overcome you. At this time, no power will overcome you. Now, all that remains is, open your mouth wide. What do you want him to do for you and for your family and for you and for our invitees and for all the people coming to the retreat, in your retreat, in all the other retreats and retreats everywhere? What do you want him to do? Open your mouth wide and I will feel it. I will feel it. I will feel it. He will supply your need. He will answer your prayer. He'll bring the fire of heaven down. And the power of God will move in every camp in Jesus' name. Now, why don't you rise up and do what the Lord had said? Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mouth. What do you want? What do you want him to do? Don't you have any request? Don't you have any prayer request? Don't you have any passion, any desire? What you want him to do for our children in the children camp and for our youths in the youth camp and for our campus students in the campus camp, and then for the adult and for the whole church? Open your mouth wide and I will fill it.